For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
Welcome to a new episode of Punch Drunk Sports. We got a lot to talk about today.
Lots to talk about.
Including Mr. Eating Pie, Eating Crow, eating his own words, Ari Shaffir, about a women's MMA, and we'll get to that.
Spectacular performance by Holly Holm.
There it is. There it is.
The
audio bite we're going to get in trouble for. Welcome, everybody. No Sam Tripoli today. He's a little under the weather. And no, Frank, I think he got deported, so it's just Ari and the team.
That happens, man. That shit happens. It's like a normal thing to happen.
Getting deported or getting under the weather?
Deported. No, yeah. Sam's just, that's just coke relapse. But deported is like that's like a legit
That's a thing. Legit problem. It's a legit problem. Sam, no problems. Just feeling a little under the weather. Mexican, a lot of problems. At least cost of living went way down for him.
I heard Sam was he got in trouble because he was last night, I think it was, that he was cheating with every girlfriend he's ever had, and then he was doing a bunch of blow and heroin and a couple pills, I forget which ones. And
what? I don't think that.
No, official.
I don't think that really happened.
I mean, I'm not there, but official. And then you know that can get you like a cold sometimes.
Well, I think that doesn't give you a cold. I've dabbled in drugs and adultery my damn self. And yep. Never got ill from that, so I actually believe Sam's just naturally.
I mean, you're definitely resilient. I know the Armenian body type is one that doesn't react the same.
That could be true. But I actually
you've mixed coke and heroin and pills.
No. I've mixed coke and pills together, not necessarily on purpose.
Without the heroin, there's no cold.
Never done heroin.
There's no cold.
Never done meth either. I actually did meth accidentally once because I thought it was cocaine. Someone was like, "Hey, you want to do a line?" This is like a long. This is even before I really even did a lot of coke. And yeah. I was at my weed dealers back in the day when people had weed dealers. And before it was legal. That's how long ago it was. You couldn't even legally buy pot. And I was at, and he's like, "Hey, man, you do a line?" And I was, it was like Friday night. It was like 7 o'clock. I was like, "You know what? Fuck it. Sure. I'll do one line." Oh, did I regret that. Thought it was coke. And I'd even like 6 hours later, I was like, "Man, I can't believe I did one line of coke and I'm still this fucked up." And then Jay Rogers, my roommate, was like, "Are you sure it was coke?" I was like, "What else would it be? It was a white line of fuck. It was positive. It was coke." He's like, "It could have been crystal meth." And I was like, "Oh, like, that actually did." Now that I crunched the numbers, yeah, I didn't really ask. He just said, "Do you want to do a line?" Yeah. I think I now have done meth officially. I think I could check that off of the list of the things I said I would never do that I did.
How did it feel? What did it feel like?
It felt like you've never really done coke, have you? Have you ever done coke, Ari?
Yeah, a couple times.
So have you ever done like a couple lines of coke? Like you're not like, "Oh, I did a line of coke." Like have you ever been like coked up?
No, I've done bumps.
Yeah, well, it's like if you do a lot of bumps and like you're really, really high for 20 minutes, like you're really zinging, like you're the annoying coked up.
Oh, you get too much like a drunk.
You're like that all the time. I don't know how long it wears off. It didn't wear off for a long time, like 5 hours maybe, and usually like a line of coke will last you like 20 minutes.
Did I tell you my theory about coke?
It's horrible and people shouldn't do it.
And celebrities?
Mm-mm.
Well, whenever a celebrity gets caught with any sort of like a dishonorable drug, cocaine for sure.
Anything from coke down or up, depending
on. They will spin it in a way that the general public who's never come in contact with coke cannot recognize it. And the one I remember and I had to be explained to this by Steve's old manager, Martin Lawrence. Remember Martin Lawrence was naked with a gun?
Yeah, standing in the middle of the street.
Yeah, dehydration, they said. And you're like, everyone's like, yeah, it sucks. But then you realize, I've been dehydrated, and I've never reacted that way.
Yeah, I've been dehydrated a lot.
Yeah, I get less energy. So then the manager guy was like, yeah, that's cocaine, man. That's what it is. And then later I realized that cocaine doesn't make you do that either. That's meth.
I'm hearing that the feed is down. Is that if anybody wants to dig with that? Usually it seems to work its way out. Oh, yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, Martin Lawrence was on meth then.
I always drew the line at the drugs where your teeth start falling out.
Yeah.
Where you start imagining bugs are on you and your skin starts to get really bad. Those are the ones that are also really hard to kick. Like, cocaine is hard to quit. Pot is hard to quit. Alcohol, for me, is very hard to quit. I have to quit drinking every single day. Now, that doesn't mean I drink. It just means today I just have to go, I'm not going to drink today. And I'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Now, ironically enough, that's how I drank. Like, when I drank, and it was July 9th, I wasn't freaking out about how am I going to get drunk on New Year's Eve. You know what I mean? I was just like, I got to get fucked up today. I don't have money. I need to get $90 drunk, and I only have $6. You know what I mean? How am I going to do that? And then I would worry about drinking tomorrow when tomorrow came. That's how I got to not drink. So I can't imagine meth, heroin, all these drugs that, like, when you try to quit, make you physically ill. You just lay in a fucking ball in the corner. I can't fucking imagine having to quit that shit, let alone being a rich celebrity or something like that. It's got to be impossible.
Yeah. I mean, you've done coke. I mean, can you imagine anyone reacting with getting naked and running down the street? I mean, this is like a long period of time, so you don't have coke still on you where you're re-upping.
No, because you do it long enough that things start to fucking not make sense. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, yeah, maybe I should fuck my neighbor. You know, it's like, yeah, but she's a two. You know what I mean? You wouldn't fuck her on your drunkest of drunks.
I know, but what you're not thinking of is maybe I should fuck my neighbor.
Oh, now I'm hearing feed works. Now I'm hearing the feed works. Thank you. Sorry for interrupting. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people like, they should decriminalize all drugs. And Sam Triple even says this. Sam's like, I think they should just decriminalize all drugs. And I do draw the line with pot because I've done most drugs. I've never done heroin. I've never smoked.
You draw the line with pot?
No, I think we should decriminalize pot, and pot should be legal.
Okay.
Because I've smoked a lot of pot. I've smoked a lot of pot. I've smoked as much pot as just about anybody that you can name in one sitting. In my lifetime, I've never ever been like, man, let's go rob a fucking bank, or maybe I should rape somebody, or maybe, you know what I mean? I've done enough coke where you start going like, we could rob a fucking bank. You know what I mean? I've done enough coke where you start getting these delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, but then you got to plan it and then also go do it. So it's only going to be, how long does it last? What I've heard lately is it really doesn't last that long, the coke.
Yeah, but if you're doing coke if I'm doing coke for 10 hours, it's accumulative.
Right, then you keep going.
Then you just keep going. And yeah, I would have to fucking plan a bank robbery. I would have to, and I'm not the kind of guy that would do something like that. But when I'm low bottom doing drugs, I'm hanging out with people that will plan it. You know what I mean? You're doing coke with people. I'm not the guy that says, maybe we should go fucking break into this guy's house. I bet I didn't steal his PlayStation.
Yeah.
But I'd be hanging out with people that would say some shit like that. And I'm so out of sorts that I'm like, yeah, man, fuck it. I wouldn't mind playing a little Madden right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some quick sponsorship. Let's do some dates out the gates. And then let's talk about the elephant in the room. You not saying women's MMA is exciting and that wasn't a good fight because I know you just watched it. Everybody, thank you for all of your support. Feel free at your leisure to go to punchdrunksports.com. If you would like to write for the website, we would love for you to do it. Just send an email to writeforpunchdrunk@gmail, and we will get you set up with an account and make sure that that happens. Go to Caveman Coffee. Everybody loves it. And Tate's been around the store lately, and he's been bringing the little delicious cans the nitro coffee. And I was telling Eric, you got to sell these things here.
Is that the beer coffee?
It's not the beer. Well, I know what you're saying. Yeah, there's no booze in it. But yeah, it does come out of a tap.
No, there's one that you and Nick were saying.
Yes, yes, that is it.
Like beer coffee.
Yes, that is it. That is
it. What is that? What is that?
It's a nitrogen infused. It comes right out of a tap, just like a beer. And
is this anything delicious? Is this anything like weed to like hash butter, the kind they put like whatever in and people blowing up?
I guess maybe. I mean, it's coffee times a million. It's absolutely delicious, and they have these little cans of it that not only are adorable, but they're really, really good. And if I have three of them, I still may go to my neighbor's house, fuck her, and steal her PlayStation. Three of them, I was fucking in deep shit at the comedy store. I drank three of them. I was telling Eric, I'm like, dude, you got to sell these. Because one, you can make some really good, like, Irish coffees with these things.
Hell yeah.
And two, there's so many sober people at the store, and the coffee there sucks. We would all buy those things. Now they can make money off of us instead of us just drinking free Cokes and the shitty coffee they have there.
If you did have good coffee, maybe everybody wouldn't relapse so much.
I doubt that, Ari.
You don't think it's a taste
guy with 1,000 relapse under his belt? A cup of coffee ain't gonna fucking stop this guy. It's an inside job, Ari.
Well,
it's a total inside job. But go to cavemancoffeeco.com and use the code PunchDrunkSports. That saves you 10%. That helps us get in good with Tate, and that helps us do the number one thing that this show wants to do, and that's fuck over Fighter and the Kid. They keep stealing our Caveman Coffee sponsorship.
Man?
Those guys got Porsches out the wing-wang. I'm sleeping in a goddamn trash bag every night. How about you help us, and how about fuck Fighter and the Kid? And if they want to fight us, I swear to fucking God, we will meet you guys anywhere you want. Me, Ari, Sam, Tate Fletcher, and Joe Rogan, all of the new co-hosts of the show, we're going to come at you. And Holly Holm.
Rogan's in with us?
Yeah, he said he didn't directly say it, but I think he'd be in for the fight just because he likes the fight game, that guy.
Yeah, both those guys, fucking Color and Shopstein.
Yeah.
We're fucking coming for you.
We're coming for you.
You at least expect it.
We're coming for you. So use the code PunchDrunkSports there. That saves you a little money. And I highly recommend, if you're going to do that, order yourself a 6-pack, a 12-pack of the Nitro coffee. The little cans that could. That's what I call them. And go to BetDSI. Now's the time of the year.
Not from them. Is fucking Brendan Schaub take the bus around L.A.?
No. Did Brendan Schaub walk 40 minutes to a podcast? I don't think so. Did Brendan Schaub walk while he listened to his 4-minute set from the original room last night three times? No, he didn't. I did.
I heard Brendan Schaub spreads rose petals in front of him everywhere he walks because he's so entitled.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. And God knows, his co-host, that guy's pretty full of himself. Lord knows, he probably throws his own rose petals.
Probably spreads for his eagle's wings in front of him.
Oh, I'm sure he does. And those guys got fucking chicks out the dick for days. None of us get chicks. None of us have Porsches. None of us have deals with Fox Sports. We're working hard. We need your money. Those guys, you send them money, you know what they'd buy with it? More rose petals to throw on the ground for Mexicans to pick up.
Pointless.
We employ Mexicans, except for he did get deported. And I feel
Let's get Schaub deported.
Yeah, that guy can't be really white.
He can't be.
What is he?
He's probably like 3/8 Mexican.
He's got to be like part Mexican, maybe a little bit white. There's got to be some Armenian or something stinky in there.
Oh, disgusting.
And then part grizzly bear. You guys are giving money to a grizzly bear, you idiots. We need it. They don't. So go to Caveman Coffee. Use the code PunchDrunkSports, not whatever their dumb code is. Don't use their code, suck our cocks. We're rich.
That is their code.
Who uses that code? Oh, Jesus, I'm getting worked up. I'm getting worked up. And go to BetDSI.com. Right now is a great time to start betting. You got football where it couldn't be any better, and I can't wait to talk NFL because what a great season we are, and we're right past
the season's already over.
The halfway point. It's over for some people. It's over for some people. It might be over for Peyton Manning. And college basketball starting up.
Can he come back again? Starts again? Can you bet on that? BetDSI?
I don't know, man. That's a good question. I mean, he will. I believe he'll be back in 2 weeks.
They can talk, but they cannot just ride him on the bench for the rest of the season, right? They can't say the
Oh, no. All the talks that they're saying is that he will be back in 2 weeks. He's banged up, and they say he just needs a week off.
Yeah, but I have heard that, like, one or two people, like, maybe this isn't just any time to rest because the whole season hasn't been that good. Maybe it's time we let this other guy play.
Well, I'll tell you what. Osweiler comes in, and he lights it up. This guy throws for 380. If he puts up the kind of numbers that offense should put up, and they put a real thump in on whoever they play this week.
Yeah.
There's going to be some talks about maybe we should stick with this guy for another week or two.
But you can't do it. You can't start him into the playoffs, right? It's like when Cal Ripken was an Oriole.
It's a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing to do. But you know what?
I mean, they might tell him, like, hey, just so you know, this is going to be your last year here. So however you want to do it. But
it's all about winning, though. Here.
They're the celebrity athletes who get special treatment when they get bad.
Yeah, man. They're called, like, perennial Hall of Famers that still wear jerseys.
Kind of like celebrity comics when they come in and they're not good anymore. Like Chappelle for that decade-long period where he's just fucking around doing nothing.
He would just sit on the stool and smoke cigarettes and go like, what y'all want to talk about?
Yeah, he always gets the bump. And he's like not as good, but no one really mentions it. Everyone when they only point out his good jokes, like, oh, that was good. You're like, did you miss the 18 minutes of silence?
Yeah.
Or did you miss the four picks that Peyton had that game? You know, it's weird.
You know who else was Martin Lawrence was like that for a while too. Martin Lawrence was coming in, and everybody would be like, oh shit, it's Martin Lawrence. And then you would watch him, you go, that ain't Martin Lawrence.
You got really stuck in the 90s.
Yeah, a lot of those people. But you know who's really funny that comes in all the time?
Ron White.
Well, Ron White's very funny. Yeah, he does great, and he's really kind. Have you seen Arsenio when he comes in?
Not for a long time.
Ari, he's pretty funny, man. He's got dirty jokes. He really works his set. He does a little bit of crowd work. Doesn't have any jokes that seem dated. If you didn't know who he was and you sat in the room, you'd be like, that guy's a headliner. That guy's obviously funny. And You know me. I would not say that. But Arsenio Hall, if you get a chance to see him, he really is funny. Funny, has a whole new set. None of his jokes are like, oh, man, I heard him do that joke fucking in 2000. Like, he's really fucking funny.
Damn. Well,
a lot of his jokes are about his decline in fame. A lot of jokes are what it's like to be him right now. Like, it answers all the questions you think when you sit down. You go, holy shit, that's Arsenio Hall. And that's literally the shit that he's talking about.
I hate that shit. To me, it should be this. And I get it. It's hard to be in a celebrity and have to deal with it your whole life and everyone knowing you for fucking 30 years. But the deal is, if you're a comic, you can have a minute of like, oh, yeah, I'm on this and this, and then just do what you feel about things.
That's what he does. Talks about raising his kids.
That's good.
His kids being bigger than him now, and they could beat him up, like that kind of thing. And like,
that's okay.
From when they start talking back to him to when he lost power. You know, I'm not sucking his cock. He's not the greatest guy I've seen.
The stars was like...
But for
most
a comic,
people don't watch it.
Yeah, for a comic who's like, you would think he could just go up there and make fart noises with his armpit and be like, fuck off. I'm bumping everybody. He's like pretty cool. I mean, he doesn't come around that much, but when he does, the two times I've seen him. And Judah Friedlander just kills me, man. That guy is so, he was at the store all week. I watched the set three times. Fuck me, that guy makes me laugh.
Oh, yeah, he's so stupid.
He had a joke that was, I laughed about it for 2 days. Yeah, man, I was a stupid kid. I went to DeVry Elementary School.
I love how he's
still laughing at it.
Really confident. Whatever.
Oh yeah, he's very funny. So go to BetDSI.com. Use the code PunchDrunk. Use the code PunchDrunk, and that gets you 10 free bucks to gamble with, and roll with that. Build the empire, man. I hope some of our fans went to BetDSI, use their 10 free bucks and bet on Holly Holm. I heard that Vegas had a problem paying people out because so many people put money on that because it was started at 12 to 1. Then it went down to 7 to 1 because so many people had laid bets. And a couple of the major casinos had problems paying out cash in the cage. And some people had to wait 4 or 5 hours to get their money while they had a Brinks truck show up.
They're just waiting for slots people to lose so they can, like, pull it over?
Yeah, I heard somebody put 10 grand on it, walked away with 120 large.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, someone at the store was telling me their buddy put 10 grand on the fight in Vegas and won $120,000 and had to wait 4 hours to get paid out because the cage didn't have enough cash.
Simone points something out, and maybe this will open up a BetDSI ad again, but we were talking about it. We're taking the bus up from Philadelphia to New York.
Yep.
And we were hearing that Holly Holm won, and we were talking about it a little bit. And he was like, "What was the line?" I was like, 12-1. And he's like, "Fuck, man, I could have bet on that. I would have had." And then he goes, "Oh, that's just typical bettor's remorse."
Oh yeah. When
he goes, "I didn't even think of betting on her. And now that I know she won, I'm like, oh man."
Well, yeah. And
I fucked up.
That brings up a great point that I want to, does it say who it is? Just number. Okay. Well, whoever's on the phone right now, call back in a little bit. I want to get into a few things with Ari. Then we'll start taking some
or
calls.
Just get him on hold. Just answer.
Yeah. Or just stay on hold, whatever you want to do. The bettor's remorse brings up another thing that you always get. And I ran into it last night, and you ran into it all night long with the Rousey thing. Here's the new guy that I'm super sick of. The new person, because I'm sure women can do it too.
I told everybody.
The I told you so's.
Why didn't you take the 12-1 odds?
No shit. The people that do this. Hey man, she could win that fight. They say that all week. Well, anybody could win any fight. It's a fight. Everybody has a puncher's chance. But yeah. The people that don't go, look into my eyes. I guarantee you,
yeah.
Holly Holm is going to knock her out before the end of round two. And you remember I fucking said that. And I'm going to come back and tell you I told you so. I got a lot of confidence in that guy. I'm going to remember that guy said that to me. And when he does, if he's not watching the fight with me, I'm going to text that person. Holy shit, Dave. You were totally right, man. You called it.
Yeah.
Everybody at the goddamn comedy store where we watched the fight was... I told you so, man. I fucking knew it. Who fucking told you this?
Though.
Who fucking told you? I go, I don't even know your name. I don't know what you said. And whatever you said, it wasn't like a ringing endorsement that stuck in my head when you said it.
There's 20 bookies hanging out there. You can't fucking lay a bet down when you're positive. Even odds.
Every single person's like, hey, man, she's a boxer, and Rousey hasn't faced a boxer, so she has a chance to win this fight.
They're just repeating what they heard.
That's not a fucking I told you so fucking moment. But the minute Rousey got, and I'm like, if Rousey got knocked out, if Rousey ran through her like she did with everybody else, and her game plan wasn't flawed, which I think is really what happened here. And
I think so too.
I think her game plan was flawed, and I think she got really fucking nervous at the end of round one and had no intention of going, let me take her into deep waters. Let me take her into the championship rounds.
Well, that's the thing, too.
She was like, oh, my God, she fucking lit me up in the first round. I got to get her now.
That's the thing, too, about women.
She had a sense of urgency that she wasn't used to.
People are like, she's one of the greatest athletes of all time. And I'm like, I don't know, man. She's never faced any adversity.
She's
never been, tested. So how are we going to say she's great? It was like when Rogan was getting his black belt. And Eddie Bravo was like, I'm not giving you black belt until you learn how to fight off your back. And Joe's like, what am I supposed to do? I'm stronger than everybody. Get on top of them. They're like, until you find somebody who's just as strong as you, and then you're going to be fucked because you haven't trained on your back. So Joe took a year and just started on his back.
That's a great point.
You know, it's like, how can you say she's the greatest ever when it's like, I mean, Anderson Silva was on his back for 4.5 minutes against Dan Henderson in the first round. And he just was like, cool, calm and collected. I've done this.
Yeah, totally. That's a great point. And the other thing, and now it's trickling in the NFL, and you get all these, especially at the Comedy Store, or anywhere where you hang out where there's a lot of people watching sports, maybe your local bar, whatever the fuck it is, there's always this asshole, the guy that wants to fucking, no matter what team you say you like, no matter what team you're watching and you have money on, they take the other one. They want the contrarians. The Brent Ernst. Joe Rogan does it a little bit, too.
Joe Rogan does it in life. Not
that's what I mean. Rogan will never talk sports and he'll never give you anything about fighters. And Tate does that, too. I don't pick fights. I know all the guys. I'm not going to tell you who's going to win. I don't have any opinion. I'm out of this.
And you're like, oh, yeah, thanks, Tate. Oh, you know them? Thanks.
Yeah, but I mean, you could even, if I said to Rogan.
You're eating up Schaub and shut your fucking mouth.
If I said to Joe, who loves pot, he's been on High Times, the cover of High Times. If I said to Joe, man, pot's really good for you, man. He would go, yeah, but there's also, he just automatically is a contrarian. He likes a debate. He likes to get all the issues on the table. So whatever issue you take, even if he's not 100%, doesn't 100% believe it, he'll take the other issue. I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about the guy that if you're clearly rooting for a game, he sidles up next to you and starts talking the other fucking way.
For no reason. Just to,
you know that albino kid at the Comedy Store?
The fat one?
The black yeah. Albino? That guy drives me up a fucking wall. And I picked the Bengals last night in my suicide pool. I had to last 5 more weeks for for $28,000.
Damn, you got that far. That sucks. Once you get to week 9, week 10, now you're like, I can feel it. I can feel this.
700 people. It was down to 110, and everybody got bounced on the Packers losing. Packers haven't lost to Detroit since 1991 in Green Bay. Last time Detroit beat Green Bay, gas was $1.07, and Hook was the number one movie at movie theaters.
What year was that?
91. Michael Jackson had the number one song on the radio. That's how long it's been since Detroit beat Green Bay in Green Bay. I was in high school. I was a senior in high school last time that happened. I'm old enough to have grandchildren right now. And quite honestly, I might have some. So this guy comes up next to me. It's 6'3". Now, did Denver lost in a bad way? I'm in my head, I'm like, fucking nice, a lot of people. I stayed away from the Giants New England game because I'm like, that's a trap game. Giants have their number a lot of times. They're going to be juiced up for fucking Patriots coming into town. I think a lot of people are going to be on that ship. I don't want to be on it when it sinks. I almost picked Green Bay to beat Detroit, but I figured a lot of people were going to be on there, and I'm glad I didn't because they lost that game. So now I'm going into Monday night, and I'm like, man, there's going to be 40 people left. All I need is Cincinnati to beat Houston. Houston has quarterback problems. Jadeveon Clowney isn't playing, who, by the way, is a huge bust, I think. Clowney's not playing.
Really?
Their quarterback is in flux. Their starting running back is done for the fucking year. They're going to Cincinnati on the road Monday night. Cincinnati's undefeated. They have the number 4 defense, and Dalton's playing out of his ass. I think this thing's a lock. It's like 7 minutes left in the game. It's 10-6. And I'm like, God, I can't believe this game. I'm watching out there waiting for my friends and family spot. And this fucking albino prick sidles up next to me. And all of us are talking about this game. And, of course, this fucking genius goes, I knew this was a trap game. And I look at him, and I'm already pissed because I'm about to be out $28,000. And I go, how the fuck is this a trap game? Tell me how this is a fucking trap game. I mean, Cincinnati is just Cincinnati. And Houston plays good on Monday night. I go, those are the dumbest fucking things.
Plays good.
You're
on
talking
Monday
about the 1990, early 90s Bengals were no good. This team is undefeated. They're playing at home. And everybody is injured for Houston. That is the opposite of a trap game. A trap game is the fucking Patriots going to the Giants. Giants are starting to play a little bit better, and they always have New England's number. Always rise up for that fucking game. A divisional game is a trap game.
It's the same people as when you get an upset in the UFC. People later go, matches make fights. And you're like, you're just quoting something someone said.
Trap game. If he walked up and the Bengals were up 31-3, he'd have been like, man, Houston sucks, man. They got a lot of injuries. And Cincinnati is undefeated. This guy just shut up. The people that are fucking the Nostradamus after something already happens.
Yeah.
You shut the fuck up.
You should just tell him. Like, hey, you, shut the fuck. Hey, everybody. Listen
I did
to this,
tell him that.
Listen to this guy. Listen to this guy saying stuff. You should embarrass
him. But I was so pissed. He really got the ire of Red State. I really Red State teed him right there at the fucking, right in front of the fucking bar. I'm like, shut the fuck up, you dumb fuck. Get the fuck out of here. Open mic's over, fat ass. Get out of here. I get that you can only come out at nighttime because you're an albino, but start hanging out somewhere else. Telling me this is a fucking trap game after it's already over. Hey, man, I fucking knew this was going to happen. Then you should be rich. Then you're a fucking idiot for not going to BetDSI.com, using the code PUNCHDRUNK, and making some fucking money. Because right now, you just sound like a fucking fat fuck who always wants to tell you shit happened. Oh, yeah, man, I knew your mom was going to die. She was kind of old. I mean, she was 70. She had cancer, so I fucking knew she was going to die. Fuck you, Fat Albert. Put on your SPF 90 and go somewhere.
He looks like white Fat Albert.
Fucking your Cookie Monster eyes. Guy looks like if you shake him, his eyes just go all over the place. I never know what you're looking at. Are you talking to me or are you talking to the guy across the street? Fucking both his eyes staring at his nose. You know what? And when the shooting happened, guess who was right there on the patio that saw the whole thing?
Him.
This guy. Cops come up to him. They're like, can you describe him? He's like, I'm legally blind. Well, then don't say you saw something. What do you mean you saw something? I saw the whole thing. Oh, cool. Can we get a statement? I'm blind. Let's shut the fuck up. Quit saying you saw everything. Quit saying you knew this was going to happen. So go to betdsi.com. Use the code PUNCHDRUNKSPORTS. PUNCHDRUNK. And I got to tell this guy, hey, man, you want to move into another tax bracket? You seem to know everything that's going to happen. Fucking bet on that. All right, let's get into the fight. This is what everybody wants to hear.
Dates out the gates.
You go first. I mean, let me grab my calendar. I got a couple things coming.
We're 40 minutes in. I love it. I'm going to be this weekend in Dallas, Texas at the Addison Improv.
Oh, nice.
Two gigs in Texas, but I got a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll be at Addison Improv. Thursday, I'll go long. That's a show I'm going to do like probably 90 or something, 80 minutes. And then everybody, we can smoke afterwards. There's no second show. Won't be tired. And then Houston on Sunday, but that's just like a festival. And then next, in 2 weeks, the week after Thanksgiving week, is Boston at Laughs and Providence on the way home at Comedy Connection. Tickets are at arishafir.com. And I just did a great This Is Not Happening show in Brooklyn. I have one more in New York before – I forgot to announce it at the show. So stupid. One more in New York before the end of the year, before I leave for the winter, and that is December 15th at the Village Underground. arishafir.com for tickets. Tebow. What do you have?
I will be at Fear in the Los Angeles area. I'll be doing a 30, maybe 40-minute set at the Hyperion Tavern this Thursday night at 9 o'clock. And me and George Perez both doing long sets. And then Saturday night, I will be at the Comedy Store at 8 o'clock. And next week, I have a really big show at the Comedy Store, and I will have more details about that next week. But it's a good one. It'll be a very, very important show.
Where? Why is it important?
Comedy Store Original Room.
Why so important?
I think it involves something happening that has needed to happen for a long time.
Oh, you're showcasing unofficially to get in.
Unofficially.
And it's already settled that you're definitely getting in.
I don't know if that, I don't think that's the case. I don't think. I think I was joking with somebody that I was going to, I was telling Yousef that I was just going to stand there quietly for 5 minutes. 4 minutes and 58 seconds, and then right when I get the light, I'm just going to go, you know what the right thing to do is, and then I'm just going to walk off. But no, I fully intend, I'm really working my set around town and working it out left and right.
You make it for sure, like it's guaranteed, like it'll be like, hey, you don't have to think about this, I just crushed.
Oh yeah, man. I don't want to just be given anything, man. All I've ever wanted was a chance to showcase with Tommy. And I would always say, man, if I don't do good, if I don't have a good set, if you can literally come up to me after my set and say, hey, man, you know, you were too dirty, or you didn't work the room good, or you just didn't seem confident, any reason whatsoever I give you to not pass me, I am willing to accept that. My only argument was, give me a showcase me. You're showcasing all these people that started 10 years after me and couldn't follow me at their own family reunion.
Wow.
Wow.
You can't do that.
Not just that. No one does. Shows at family reunions.
Yeah.
So, you know, I probably wouldn't mind having a lot of people at that show. So when it happens, I will, next Tuesday, I will give details for it. And but come to the Hyperion Tavern. Come to the Comedy Store on Saturday. Met a lot of people this last week that are big fans of the show. A couple English people, a couple Australians. That always amazes me when all of you guys come to town and come to spend your 3 month vacation that everybody in this country, the world seems to get, but America. And you come to the Comedy Store, and I was standing there talking to somebody, and I think I was in a heated argument because I think I was blowing up on somebody. And yeah, this English guy comes up to me, "Are you Red State Teeb?"
Really?
And I'm like, yeah. He goes, "I fucking recognize your voice from around the corner. I heard you yelling over here." And I was like, oh, that's crazy. You recognize my voice having a meltdown on somebody in the parking lot of the Comedy Store. Yeah, so it always amazes me when all you people, I mean Americans as well, but people from around the world come to hang out at the Comedy Store and they know of that place from listening to podcasts and they make it a stop on their vacation. And they come up to us, and I always am very grateful that you guys always come up to me and Sam and Ari when he's in town, and even Frank the Mexican before he got deported. And you guys are always so nice and always say nice things to us, and yeah. And I really appreciate that. It's very cool for not only for you to listen to the show, but to come out and support live comedy when you're on vacation.
And for all our listeners in Guadalajara, too, make sure to look up.
I got a tweet from a guy in Mexico that says, "Hey, man, Mexicans listen to you, too. We don't all only speak Spanish down here. Some of us speak English, and the ones that do like Punch Drunk." So
That's Frank. That
what,
was Frank.
Whatever Wetback said that to me, I appreciate that, sir. I know you're listening right now. And if you can crawl under a fence and swim across a river, I'd be glad to get you some free chicken at the Comedy Store.
Stupid.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So, Ari.
Yes, sir.
Lot of people hitting me up on Twitter. Lot of people hitting me up on Twitter saying,
listen,
I can't wait to hear what Ari has to say after saying Rousey fights are boring, no one will be able to beat her, and
I
women's MMA
no
is not exciting.
I said I'm not interested. I said I'm not interested.
You said a lot of other things other than I'm not interested.
I said until she loses a round, I'm uninterested in female fighting.
Well, you saw her lose two.
I saw her lose two rounds. Well, definitely one, and the other one was a knockout. But, like, she lost the first round for sure.
Oh, she not only did she lose the first round, she looked shocked.
Yeah.
She looked shocked.
Now, do you think they're going to go right back to rematch? Well, let me just get back to
that. I hear that they are.
I don't think they should. But, like, I think you go rematch when there's been a champion for a long time, which Ronda Rousey hasn't, by the way. She's 6-0 or was 6-0 in the UFC. That's not long enough for me to go. She definitely needs to get another one. And this wasn't a questionable by decision, you know, fight. This was like, oh, no, you definitely got beat by this person. You don't deserve to fight them again.
Right.
In what way do you go, I don't know. There was nothing, you know. Did you get like a terrible injury the night before? No, you don't deserve this.
Well, I'll tell you why. I guarantee you why they're going to have an instant rematch.
I'll tell you the reasons why that's not a good idea, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll play counterpoint here.
Okay.
I was at the store, and everybody watched the fight. Now, in the bar back there where we're watching it was one of the head of security, who's a huge MMA fan, myself, Theo Vaughn, and Adam.
Yeah.
And Rob, the waitress, who was bartending back there. Now, all of us were there from the first fight of the main card all the way through.
You just at the store?
What's that?
They got him at the store?
Yeah, they get him in the back private bar, the comics bar.
Cool.
And so we're all back there, and there's four of us watching, and we're watching every fight. Now, about every 15 minutes, 10 to 15 different people would come in and check in and see how close we're getting to the Rousey fight.
Yeah.
Everybody from Rose to Richie to all the way up. Eric, you know, the people that are... You know, they're the novice. They're not real fans, but they are interested in the Rousey fight. And I don't blame them. I don't judge you. I think that's good for the sport.
I judge.
It's a gate. Ronda Rousey and McGregor are gateway drugs to MMA.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get people in to being fans one day. Somehow, not everybody, but a lot of people can start watching these fights and go, that was really interesting. And then they start learning about other fighters. And then they start really getting and becoming fans. You know, you don't have to be a fan from day one like all of us idiots.
True.
You can get into the sport. And these people are beacons for that.
I wasn't. I started, you know, training jiu-jitsu and
that got you in.
Yeah, people started talking about it. I was like, oh, I guess I should watch this. I didn't understand it. It just seemed cool. I don't know. There's never a reason to get into a sport.
And, you know, and it doesn't hurt all, you know, the original core sort of death squatters that, you know, we got to meet a lot of these fighters. And we got to hang out with Joe. And we got to go to a lot of the fights before they were even really huge. So we really kind of got in a different way than most people. But we are big fans of the sport.
Fights too, yeah.
Yeah, we're big fans of the sport. So I don't judge those people that kept coming in. It's like, hey, how many more fights till the round? And I'd be like, yeah, you got one more fight, then a girl fight, then the girl fight you want to see. You know, I would just tell that to all these people as they come in the room. So now by the time the Rousey fight comes on, there's about 30 people in that room, 25 people in that room. Everybody's watching the fight. Even Martindale's in there. And a lot of people in there that you wouldn't think would care or were in there for this fight. Everybody watches it. It goes the way it goes. Everybody's shocked.
Jesus.
Everybody's shocked. Everybody can't believe what just happened, what they just saw. And the whole store is talking about the fight.
He's a heater. Sorry, what the fuck?
Bundle it, save with
get
the
out
rest.
Of here.
Oh. What is that, Asian porn you're watching?
What the fuck? Sorry.
It's all right. Every single person that came to the store 10 minutes after the fight or longer was like, God, I can't believe Okay, we got a celebrity call. We'll take this in a second. I can't believe I missed it. I can't believe I missed the fight. Really? Every single person that took to your theory of, I don't need to watch this. It's going to be another 90-second fight. I know what's going to happen. I've watched all the other ones. This is the one I'm going to miss. Had a fucking emotional meltdown that they missed it.
I wasn't like that. I wasn't like, I don't need to see it. I know what's going to happen. I was like, I don't care.
Yes. But a lot of people really care. A lot of people really care. And for that reason alone, striking while this iron is hot, they have a rematch in the next 4 or 5 months. Every fucking person that knows Ronda Rousey's name and now knows Holly Holm's name is gonna fucking watch this fight. You wait, you let them both have a couple other fights here and there, you give them this rematch in a year and a half, it's no different than making us wait for Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Not true. This is just hype, because no one cared up until 2 days ago about this fight. No one cared at all. With Pacquiao Mayweather, we cared for 2 years.
We cared for 4 years.
But when they started going, oh, it's not going to happen. We've already cared for 2 years about that. This one is like, we're just starting to care on Sunday. So we can care for 6-8 months. We can care for a year.
Now, what's your argument for no rematch? And then
One, Ronda Rousey does not deserve it. She didn't show anything in that fight that made me think, oh, that was cheap. She hasn't been a champion long enough to deserve an instant rematch with anyone. And
she's been a champ as long as that belt's existed.
I know, but it only existed for her. I mean, she was named the UFC champion. She didn't even win a fight to become the champion.
Is that true?
Yeah. She came from Strikeforce. They bought Strikeforce and go, well, you're the new UFC champion.
I didn't know that.
And then for the 125 or whatever the underclass is, the underweight is, they had to have a fight for it.
They had essentially a whole tournament, which was the tough season.
Yeah. So also, in terms of money, Ronda Rousey's next fight is going to be humongous no matter what.
Sure.
And Holly Holm's next fight, if it's not against Ronda Rousey, will be way bigger than if it was against like somebody else had she lost, right?
Holly Holm, Miesha Tate. I would absolutely watch that fight, and I would look forward to it. I would look forward to it.
And then here's the deal: if Holly Holm wins, and let's assume Ronda Rousey is going to win, because who else is there to fight Miesha Tate? I mean, who else is there to fight? But whatever. If she wins and they both win, then you can face each other again, and it's okay. If Holly Holm loses, then you can get Ronda Rousey to face her again, have two fights before she goes for a belt.
Right.
Everyone will watch that. And then when she fights for the belt, everyone will watch that again. You get more money out of it if you don't fight them right away. Because if you do fight them right away, massive paycheck for sure. Absolutely.
Right.
But you're still going to get that. You're going to get that no matter when that is. So I'm not saying wait 2-3 years, but you can wait 2-3 fights. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see it right now because they were like, wow, I can't believe what we just saw. I want to see it again. That wasn't a good fight. That was a one-sided fight. And honestly, I'm giving it up. I mean, obviously to Holly Holm, but like Greg Jackson, again, with the game plan, he has consistently gotten his fighters to beat better fighters.
Yeah.
Chuck Liddell lost to Keith Jardine. What's his name? Evans beat Chuck Liddell. Same shit. Better game plans.
And I think, Rousey's coach just filed for bankruptcy. Rousey's mom was complaining that he's a terrible coach. I think Rousey had no game plan. Now, if you ask me,
it looked like she was like, I want to prove to this lady, like she proved to the last one. She goes, I can do what you do better than you.
And I feel like she panicked. I feel like that end of that first round, she was like, holy shit. And going into that second round, she panicked. Like, I got to fucking come right at her. And I tell you what, man, and I know, what do I know? You know, I took Taekwondo for 7 years. I've never been in an octagon. I've been in an octagon. I've never fought in one. I just put Joe King in a headlock. But I've never fucking fought competitively. I get that, other than sparring tournaments in the fucking late 80s. I get all that shit. So what do I know? But as a fan, and I would describe myself as a very knowledgeable fan, and I know there's more knowledgeable fans out there than me. We've seen this time and time again with really smart game plans, with people like Jose Aldo, where it's like, you're fighting a better striker than you. What I would have game planned if I was Rousey's coach, I'd have been like, you are going to spend the first half of this fight, rounds 1, two, and three. Yeah. Even unless you get your chance to shoot, throw her, and get her in an arm bar or take her down, you leg kick the living fuck out of this chick. You throw 70 fucking leg kicks around. Well, you get both of her.
You were talking to Holm or you were talking to Rousey?
Rousey. You by round three, I want Holly Holm, both of her legs to look like eggplants. So she cannot to take all of her power away from her punching. And now in rounds four and five, you can get close quarters with her.
Yeah, but that's if you respect her as a real fighter. And honestly, she's 3-0 in the UFC. And two split decisions. Like, it's never been like, oh, you got to watch out for her power. It just wasn't.
But
it wasn't there. She was jabbing her to death.
Tate said it best. She was straight lefting her to death. I mean, she fought southpaw, and that straight left was mega connecting. Mega connecting. She didn't even see it coming down the pipes at her. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe her hands were kind of down. I couldn't believe she was standing right in the alley. I mean, she's worked angles on her. It was a boxing match. And she tried to box a world-class boxer. Tate said it best. Tate said it best last night. He goes, there are four really, really good mixed martial arts women on the planet. Every other one of them is relatively an amateur. Even though they're professionally fighting, they've only been mixed martial artists for 2 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Most of them don't have black belts. And all of them aren't really great at one thing. They started out as mixed martial artists, where a lot of people in MMA are like, hey, man, this guy's a black belt. He's been a black belt for 15 years. This guy was an Olympic wrestler. This guy was a national champion wrestler. This guy was a boxer. So they're great at one thing, and they're MMA at everything else. Good. Everybody, all these women fighters, they're just mixed martial artists. Where Ronda Rousey is great at something. She's world champion at something. She finally got into the octagon with somebody that is a world champion and great at something that she's not great at. And she tried to go toe-to-toe with her at that exact thing, and you saw what happened.
Yeah, so don't do that.
Let's take a call. I think we have the champ, George Rush St. Pierre, on to talk about what just happened. GSP, are you there?
Bro, it's Edmund Tarvarian, bro.
Oh, no.
Coach.
What happened? Well, now, wait, we have a lot of questions for you. One, what happened, first of all, what happened with your fighter?
Bro, first of all, thoughts and prayers for Sam Tripoli, Armenian, bro, for life.
Yeah, he's a little under the weather today. I don't think you need to pray for a guy with a cold. But that's nice
of you. Pray to Armenian God and Mercedes.
Oh, yes, Mercedes-Benz, the Armenian God.
Bro, we have great strategy, bro. We say you box the boxer, bro.
That is a terrible strategy now. Why would you send your fighter in to box a better boxer?
Yeah.
Bro, I'm bored with everything. I say, why not do it?
Okay, all right. So it cost you. Now, what's this controversy with Ronda Rousey's mother verbally going out against you and saying that you're a terrible coach?
Bro, I have sex with the mother one time. I don't call back. She comes out. I'm bad coach, bro.
Now that we crunch the numbers, that does seem to fucking make a lot of sense.
Bro, you do it one time. They see how well you go down on them. They have 50,000 orgasms, and you don't do the call back. All of a sudden, bad coach.
Now, why didn't you call her back? Why did you only fuck her once? I mean, if she was good in the sack, you should have thrown her a couple more dicks.
Bro, I'm shipping in kitchen, bro. I know where the money comes in, bro.
Shitting in kitchen, bro. Yeah. I guess
in her kitchen.
Well, I think he's referencing to you don't want to fucking shit where you eat.
Saying, but he's not.
I think he messed up the popular saying, which is you don't want to shit where you eat.
Bro, come on, learn the idioms, Addy, bro. Come on.
Yes.
The idioms? All right.
Yes. Now, what is all of this talk about you filing for bankruptcy? What's going on with all your financial situations here?
Well, once I ship in kitchen, mommies have problems.
Yeah.
And buy 60 Mercedes.
You bought 16 Mercedes?
60.
60. No, not 16. 60.
Oh, yeah. The first one was stupid.
60 Mercedes.
Yeah,
and I paid for the two.
You only paid for two, so you owe money on 58 Mercedes.
Next thing I know, money not coming in, hand over fisticuffs.
Yeah, that will tend to hand.
Why is money not coming in?
It's hand over fisticuffs.
Bro, I tell Rhonda, you get her down on the ground, you don't do any ground and pound. Only armbar. That's what MMA is. It's submission tournament.
Now, there was a moment in that first round where it looked like you almost got the underarm bar. Not to be confused with Under Armour bar. I don't want to offend Reebok here, but
yeah, what happened? She got her. She
looked like she had it, but I think
a judo toss and it just didn't happen.
Really looked like Holly Holm was prepared to get out of an armbar.
Bro, I teach her the one move, armbar. That's all you need to know on ground. That's it.
Yeah, well, we saw how that blew up in your face.
That didn't work out for you at all.
Now, are you...
In Australia, I have unbelievable time. I go to disco all night long before fight. I do ecstasy.
Probably not a good idea.
First time I do it.
Now, are you worried about job security? Now, the heat was already... The walls were already seemed like they were closing in on you. A lot of people were saying, You kind of like, it'd be like me coaching Rousey, where you're just like, yeah, do what you do. And I'm sitting over there smoking Armenian cigarettes, not really paying attention. And now that, you know, your financial troubles have come out, you filed for bankruptcy. Rousey's mother says you're not a good coach. And now the loss. Are you worried about job security right now? Are you worried she might make a change in her camp?
Bro, I'm training in Glendale, California, the center of fighting in the world. Everyone knows that, bro.
I don't think that really is, but go ahead.
I have Travis Brown now. He's now heavyweight champion.
That's actually not true, but go ahead.
She won the last one fight. Everyone's panicking. She'll do Roadhouse 2, become the new Patrick Swayze. We will get it back on track.
Swayze.
See, I think this is part of the problem, man. A lot of people are saying this movie stuff is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Bro, she lose Eye of Tiger, not the trainer's fault. I say, why do 58 movies? I need a couple more Mercedes. Let's get in the octagon or the hexagon, and we fight it out.
Again, yeah, hexagon. It doesn't
the
really.
Octagon, but I see what you're saying. Yeah. What are your rim situation on those 60 Mercedes?
Bro, if you don't have rims, are you even driving the car?
That's a goddamn good point. So, yeah, you got
six. I buy dinner plate-sized Mercedes-Benz emblem necklace, all jewel-encrusted, bro.
I
know my money.
Apparently you don't, because, once again, you have filed for bankruptcy. So you have 200. You've paid money for 240 22s. Are they all spinners?
Bro, only half spinners. Don't want to be tacky, bro. Come on.
That is true, yeah. You don't want to have 60 Mercedes. Are all your Mercedes
white? Wait. Is he saying you get spinners if you don't want to be tacky? Or
it's only tacky if you put them on all 60 of your Mercedes.
Bro, right? You don't put them all on. You put them on daily driver so people see the spins.
Yeah.
But other than that, you don't need it.
That's so true. Now, are all your Mercedes white? Yeah. Because I noticed Armenians definitely like white cars.
Bro, we may not be considered white, but when we buy the car, white is right.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, you're not considered white.
Yeah, of course. You got to go that way. That makes
a lot
of sense.
Where is Ben Tripoli, bro? There's lack of Armenian pride in this call.
A little bit of lack of Armenian pride.
Heroin, coke, and pills. He mixed them all and he got a cold.
Once again, I don't think that's
the Armenian flag flying from the car. Like, all of my cars have four flags every window.
Oh, that must look very, like, diplomatic. Like, people are like, wow, that must be the president of Armenia in the car.
And then I get out, I'm even more impressive because I train Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I don't know how popular you're going to be in the old Rousey circles. As a matter of fact, you're really coming under a lot of heat. A lot of people are kind of blaming you for this fight, saying, she had a very poor game plan coming into this. What do you say to that?
Blaming me? Am I in the octagon? I'm not doing nothing. I look at her sister one time with sex in my eyes and the mother freaks out.
Well, yeah, she might be a little jealous.
Sister's hot.
And her sister is kind of hot for a fucking 16-year-old.
Why is the sister in the gym wearing a bikini top? There's no sun. What am I supposed to do? I'm working the mitts and I'm looking at the tits.
It's a sports bra, man. That was a sports bra. That's what they wear. That's what they wear to train.
Yeah, that,
they all much do.
I think that's what it
is. Meanwhile, the mother's looking pretty good. She does judo, so I start training with her. Next thing I know, my penis is inside the gym.
Wow, you fucked her in the gym?
Fucked her in the gym.
There were a couple people around, but
Are you hearing this? Ronda Rousey's coach fucked her mother in the gym.
Yeah.
Wow.
With her sister, apparently, there. Is that what you're getting at here?
The sister was in the bathroom playing with, I believe, My Little Pony, whatever she's into.
That's 16 seems pretty old to be playing with My Little Pony, unless that's some sort of euphemism.
She's not the brightest woman, okay? They have some learning disabilities.
Oh, wow. That is breaking news. Ronda Rousey's sister is mentally challenged. Or unless playing with My Little Pony is some sort of euphemism for masturbating.
Is it?
Bro, George St. Pierre is in Los Angeles right now, bro. I'm courting him to come to gym.
Who is?
George St. Pierre.
St. Pierre's in Los Angeles right now. Wow, I hope.
Bro, at Wild Card Gym, doing 6-week training camp to see maybe come back. I'm saying Freddie Roach is yesterday's news. I'm the boxing man.
Yeah, again, I don't
know. I mean, you really only show not good boxing.
Did good with that. No. Yeah, I don't think
bro,
so.
Do you have 2 scars on your eyebrows from boxing? I do.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're good as a coach.
But I got the scars, so I do box.
Yeah, but that just means you've gotten punched. I mean, it really shows, those scars show that you're not a good boxer.
Sometimes the best defense is bad defense.
Again, yeah, all these things are kind of making me maybe agree with what I've been reading in different articles, that maybe you're not the best coach.
Yeah. Bro, did you start training at YMCA when you were 16?
Actually, in a weird way, I did. Yeah, I did, actually.
Me too.
Okay, well, see, I have no affiliation. If you're saying...
Do you drive Mercedes, bro? Because maybe we hang out.
No, but I would love to borrow one of your 60 Mercedes before they get repossessed.
Ever smoke Armenian hash?
I probably. There's a good chance that did happen.
Oh, it's beautiful, bro. Put it in a hookah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I definitely have done that. I don't know if it was Armenian, but I've definitely smoked a lot of hash in my day.
Bro, Gregor Jackson is gay.
Wow. That is unnecessary. I don't know where it even came from. It seems like just bitterness because he just beat your fighter.
Yeah.
He's a gay man with Winky John.
Winkle John, yeah.
Well,
Winky John, they're gay together, but props to them. But next fight, we're going to call new strategy next fight.
What?
It's going to be outbox the boxer, but this time we do it.
Again, I would not go in with the... It sounds like you have the exact same strategy to go in.
Yeah, it's not a new strategy.
That's the exact strategy you just said you had, and it really went terribly wrong for you.
But sometimes you know when you do something, and the next time they don't expect the same strategy, that's what it's going to be, ultimate switch-up.
Well, Mr. Targaryen, if I could just ask you a question that's on everybody's mind, on all the Armenian newspapers. People talk about your eyebrows. They're saying they don't connect and saying it's lack of street cred.
Well, I do shave them because I do. I live in America now. I no longer live in Khatmosekh, Armenia. that's the town I went to. I went to Khatmosekh High School. Good school for me, bro.
What was their mascot?
The of Mercedes.
What was the mascot of that high school? I'm trying to remember.
It was the unibrow.
Oh, yes, the fighting unibrow. Okay.
And that's what people do say. Ironic that Tarverdian does not have connecting eyebrow, but I still get the pussy, you know?
Well, good on you for that. I guess you get the pussy. Well, thanks for calling in. I hope your financial situation works out.
Sorry. You've been training her for a while, huh?
Bro, I find her when everyone says she's a piece of shit. Who brings her to the top? Who makes her big athlete? Who gets the titties in Sports Illustrated magazine?
Absolutely. I wasn't talking about that. What I want to know is, have you seen any lovers tiffs in the training situation with all the different boyfriends she's had between GSP and Nick Diaz and
Brandon Schaub,
Link to Gilbert? Schaub, Travis Brown, have there been any fights for her honor or anything while you've been around? that we should know about?
Bro, these men, they're coming around like dogs in heat, bro. Everybody wants to fuck the Rhonda.
You know, it seems, I imagine she would be pretty solid in the sack.
Bro, Nick Diaz riding BMX bikes by the gym.
Yeah.
Gilbert Melendez, old man with ice cream cart. He wants a piece.
And they're all just circling the gym. Like, remember when you were like in sixth grade and there was like one girl that everybody had a crush on and she would be like doing something somewhere and then everybody, there they are with their bikes just sitting there acting like they're just hanging out.
Bro, Rhonda's like first girl in seventh grade to get tits. Everybody wants the slice.
Yeah. I get that. I can get that. There was girls. I had a girl in my class that had tits in fifth grade, and they were just lost their mind. She had big tits. She wasn't like a fat chick. She just naturally had boobs in fifth grade.
Next thing you know, ninth grade comes around. Everyone has tits. Goodbye, fifth grade tit lady.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened to her. You got sick of fucking thinking about those tits, and then everything starts popping up left and right, and you're like, thank God, other tits to think about.
Bro, Rossi's tits will be back. You count on it. Maybe I'll have sex with mother again, make family situation okay.
I think you're going to have to do that. I think you're going to have to make this right in any way you can, because I think it's time to circle the wagons in Camp Rousey here.
Okay, bro. Rhonda's calling on another line. I need to take it.
Well, thanks for calling. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. Well, that was an interesting call. Now, Ari, I got an email, and I'm very excited. And if GSP really is at Wildcard, I'm right by there all the time, because right next to there is a place that I frequent once or twice a day for a cup of coffee. And
that Attic Coffee Shop? Didn't that used to be an Attic Coffee Shop?
It's a
recovering coffee shop until the owner relapsed and everyone had to leave.
None of that's true at all. None of that's true at all.
No, we used to have an open mic there.
Yeah, they do. No, he hasn't relapsed at all. They have four meetings a day there.
I mean, like, 12 years ago.
No, I'm 100% positive that never happened.
I don't know. It was like, maybe it's a different place. No, I remember the show they used to have.
Same place. Yep, exact same place. No, I know.
I heard they all stopped going because he started drinking again.
Nope, absolutely not true. I know him very well.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like 18 years. He's been sober as long as I've been in L.A.
That's what Taylor says. And Nick Youssef and all them, they're like, yeah, that's what happened. They killed the open mic because none of the audience would go there.
Nah, he killed the open mic because too many homeless riffraffs were coming in there and fucking the place up.
Oh, okay, well, that's better.
He quit staying open late. He used to stay open until like midnight, and now he closes at like 7. But anyways, it's right next to Wildcard, and I saw Pacquiao walking down the street. You know, I see people there all the time. And if GSP really is in town, I'm going to fucking be hanging out there because I would love to see GSP. Speaking of which, GSP sent me an email, said he's a big fan of the show. And he's become a pretty big fan of another podcast called Danish and O'Neill. And he's like, hey, can you please promote their show and tell people to go to iTunes and listen to Danish and O'Neill? It's a nice supplementary podcast to ours. They have their own thing. They do their own thing. But GSP loves to call in there, too. And he asked if we could please, GSP has gotten into making prank phone calls now. And he asked,
really?
Yep, he asked if we could please play this prank call that he made. And then I think he's going to call in to
GSP
discuss it.
Prank called someone?
Yeah, I think it's
Good afternoon. There you go.
Yeah, is this the place that makes cakes that you can jump out of?
Yeah, of course. Pop out. What's up?
I am trying to impress a woman. Her name is Holly. I don't know if you saw last night she beat up Ronda Rousey.
Okay, let's start with what's your first name?
My name is George.
Hi, my name is James. What's your phone number?
My phone number is 659.
That's not an area code.
I'm calling from Canada.
Okay. And where do you want this particular pop-out cake to be?
It's going to be in New Mexico.
Okay, when do you want it there, sir?
Probably next week.
Okay, minimum on these things are $1,200.
Is it hard to breathe inside of the cake because I'm kind of claustrophobic?
No, not at all.
You think this will impress her?
I don't know. Like, I only sell them.
Are people usually impressed when someone jumps out?
I take it they are, yeah. I don't see any reason why they would.
Okay, I'm going to think it over. I will call you back, and I need to get some more details.
You got it.
Okay, thank you very much.
There's GSP prank calling, but I think there's some truth to that. I think that he may be smitten by by Holly Holm for beating Rousey. So here to answer that question is the champ. Oh, no, he's not on the phone. Okay, well, GSP, please call if you're listening, because I did your bidding, and I would like to know if there's any truth to the rumor that I'm kind of picking up on, is that he got catfished by Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, for sure.
He was deeply in love with her, and him and her and Diaz catfished him and really made him feel like a fool. He put his heart out there. He put his love on the line. He was willing to say, I love you publicly, and they tortured him, and they made him feel terrible for that. And there he is, sitting at home, probably in his jean shorts with his belt on, watching this fight, and gets to see somebody beat the shit out of the girl that made him feel like a fool. So I think this might be him. Let's see. Champ, is that you? Are you there?
Hey, this is Garrison Keillor.
Oh, no.
Your home companion. How are you?
Garrison Keillor.
Who is it? Oh, Garrison Keillor from yeah. This American Life?
This American Life.
What?
Prairie Home Companion.
I'm actually most well known for Prairie Home Companion.
Yes, yes, you are. That is why I didn't even know you ever listened to this show. That's a big honor.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of this and of the Danish and O'Neill podcast.
Now, yeah, I've listened to their podcast, and I know you are a frequent caller into their show, so I'm honored that you listen to ours as well.
Well, I just wanted to say, Ronda Rousey was a former lover of mine, the provocative fair.
Wow.
Years ago. She was training for her judo championship in Lake Wobegon.
Lake Wobegon.
And, so, we really hit it off, and Reverend Ham actually introduced us, and, we started a steamy, raunchy affair.
Raunchy affair? Did you say raunchy?
I said raunchy.
What does raunchy affair entail?
She made me do things that, I've seen a lot of things in my day, but she made me do things that I've never done before.
Such as what?
She would make me urinate into her butthole, and then she would clench it up, and then she would release the urine into my mouth.
What?
What?
Yes, I told you it was a raunchy affair.
What is I believe that's called bird bathing. I could be wrong.
Well, thank you, young man, for filling me in on what all the hip kids are talking about.
Yeah, I think that's called a bird bath, where you pee into somebody's asshole, they clench their butt cheeks up, and then they pour it back into your mouth. I think that's called a bird bath.
It was exhilarating, I'll say that.
Your own piss, your own piss out of a mixed martial arts fighter's butthole.
Oh, yes, it was quite a thing. I also, since I'm a big fan of you guys and I would just like to announce that I am HIV positive.
What?
Wow.
What?
Yes, yes.
It is just raining AIDS on everything that we've ever believed in.
Garrison Keillor, kids, is HIV positive.
Wow. Well, that's quite a way to go out on a call. Garrison Keillor, thank you for calling in. We're big, big fans. Of
thank
everything
you and
you
everybody
do.
Listen to Prairie Home Companion and have a good day and visit Lake Wobegon if you're in the area.
Yes, please visit Lake Wobegon if you're in the area. Wow, Ari, we're getting some crazy callers today.
I can't believe he called in. I can't believe, so many things, that he fucked her in Lake Wobegon. It's kind of ruined a memory for him. And then the HIV thing, too, we don't want to glance over.
I mean, and we also have this Charlie Sheen thing. Now, I hear Charlie Sheen went on Good Day LA Good Morning America or something and talked about
HIV positive.
And I haven't, and what a shock that is.
Not really, right?
What a real shock that is, this guy with fucking all of his drugs. And we got a call on line one, and I...
By the way, I'd like to say this about the Rousey home fight. I always said, I'm not going to talk about it until I lose a round. So I will now tolerate it. I still don't think it's a very deep division. In fact, it's very, very light. But I will at least now say you can talk about it.
That an interesting fight? Now, right before we started the show, you made a commitment to watch the entire fight, the fight in its entirety. You watched all around one. You watched all around two, or as long as it lasted. Would you describe that as an interesting fight? Were you engaged in the fight? Were you?
I was engaged.
Only because of the name.
Okay. And joining us.
If that was two dude fighters that I hadn't seen, I'd be like, oh, one's really good. The one's okay. The other's not really doing anything.
Uh-huh. Joining us on the show, everybody. And I can't wait. There's so many questions for you. You sound elated. You sound excited. Ladies and gentlemen, former champ of the world, George Rush St. Pierre.
Some would say current. I would be one of the people who would say current champ of the world.
Current champ. Some people see it different, but I will give you that. George St. Pierre, how have you been? What's going on? And what were initially your thoughts of this fight?
All I have been doing is kitty litter, ketamine, and singing "Tis the Season" with Boughs of Holly. La 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 la. This is unbelievable. Ronda Rousey gets what she deserves. You lock me in a refrigerator box and try to kill me, I will send Greg Jackson students at you one by one.
That is, honestly, that is a very minimal response.
You lock me in a refrigerator box and try to kill me. Now,
I used to train with Holly Holm at Greg Jackson. There's pictures online. You can see a young, handsome GSP before I could afford the good jean shorts I now wear.
Yes. You guys
training. I used to train with Holly Holm. I would box with her before my boxing was unbelievable. She taught me some moves.
Uh-huh. So you actually learned from her as she learned from you.
And that's what Greg Jackson teaches. We all learn from each other. I learned how to brew coffee from Tate Fletchman.
Tate Fletcher. But yes, of course. And that's a good person to learn to brew coffee from. I tell you what, that guy knows his shit.
He always tells me, George, you need to live pirate life. And yes. I say, you need to live Montreal life.
And once again, it's a very symbiotic relationship. Tate Fletcher, very... very in with the Greg Jackson camp. All of his good friends are fighters in that camp, and yourself included. Have you ever met Tate?
I have rolled with Tate many times. He got me in he uses the beard like a gi. He chokes me out with the beard.
He probably could, actually. That thing's pretty long.
When you don't, it's like another arm. You don't know. You feel like he's all tied up. Next thing you know, you're being choked out by, you think it's by a phantom, but it's by the beard.
He's got a beard under your chin.
Yeah. I've heard that could happen for sure.
God, Ronda Rousey, how pathetic is it? She has no belt. If you have no belt, you are sexually disgusting to me.
So now... George, tell us a little bit about this prank call. Now, was it a prank call, or are you really planning on surprising Holly Holm with yourself jumping out of a cake to say congratulations?
That call is 1,000,000% from the heart. I am in love with Holly Holm. I see the skills. I see the determination. People tell me she has a husband, but it's not going to stop me this time.
Yeah.
Now, putting the Ten Commandments aside, I will covet the wife, and I will have sex with her until she loves the George St. Pierre.
Okay, that sounds a little creepy, but I trust you.
I'll give you that.
I trust in you. Now, do you think because, you know, now she's going to be in the spotlight, now she's going to be famous, now a lot of, you know, I was talking to Tate the other night, we were hanging out, and he put it very bluntly, he goes... She is now a millionaire. She doesn't have the $1 million yet, but she is now, her life has completely changed. And with that spotlight, with all that money and all that fame, it tends to put a lot of strain onto a pre-existing relationship. Do you think this is going to end her relationship and she's going to be dating more famous people such as yourself?
How does she relate to that weenie husband? He does not have a belt. Yeah. She wears the belt around the house. What's he doing? He works at AAA. He's as the Andrew Dice Man would say, he's a zero.
Yeah. Dice would call him a zero. So now you think their relationship, it's too strenuous. He's going to tap out, as they say in the industry, and then leave a fucking a nice big void in her heart that only GSP can fill.
Once I overcome my fear of getting back into a cardboard container to surprise her with a cake, I think it's over.
Now I noticed that you you had mentioned in the call to the cake guy that you do tend to get claustrophobic. Does that stem from when you were buried alive in a refrigerator box in the desert in your underwear and you had a cell phone that only had our phone number on it?
Once you get buried alive in a refrigerator box, which I guess a lot of people will relate to,
yeah,
I can't even drive through a tunnel on the highway. I just see the box around me, and I smell the dirt, and I feel death coming upon me.
Yeah. Now, you were unconscious for a while, and then you came to and found yourself buried alive in a refrigerator box.
Within a box? I hear the aliens whisper to me, I don't give up, and I get the determination of GSP, I break through the box, and I jump out of the dirt, reborn into the world.
Wait. Wow. Please wait.
Wow.
I can't even.
What did the aliens say to you?
Thank you.
Where do we go first?
Please. Yes. I can't even say it. Once again,
hearing the alien language for the first time can be kind of mind-blowing, so be patient with yourself.
Okay, yes. Real quick, I would like to hear that one more time. Now, I got the last sentence, believe in yourself. But what was it, again, the aliens said to you when you were buried alive?
So I'm buried alive in the refrigerator box because of the piece of shit Diaz brothers and Rousey.
Yes.
And the aliens come to me inside of the box and they say, believe in yourself. And I say, I can do it. And I jump through the box.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought they said. I just wanted to make sure. Now, all of the stuff before believe in yourself, what do you know what that means? Or is it just the way they talk?
A lot of it was about them building the pyramids, and they told me they were going to take down Bill Cosby, and just some other stuff, just small talk. But then the last part, the believe in yourself, was the key.
Small talk. So for some reason, they give you all of their plans for the next 2 or 3 years to take down celebrities and then throw in a believe in yourself, and the next thing you know, you were able to get out of the refrigerator box.
I was dying. You would think that believe in yourself would be first. I was dying in there, and my time was of the essence, but these guys like to take the time.
Okay. Now, have you seen aliens lately? You haven't mentioned the aliens in quite a few calls.
I see them almost on a daily basis. Sometimes I look at the clock, and next thing I know, there are minutes gone, and there's no other explanation but alien life.
I don't know, man. You keep saying that. I feel like there's tons of explanations.
One off the top of my head would just be time never stops moving. So if you look at the clock and look away, and then you look at it again, some time obviously has passed. I don't think that has anything to do with
aliens. But you know, like, have you ever been somewhere and next thing you know, like 2 hours are gone? Where did it go, really?
Well, I think 2 hours have just seemed to have passed. I don't think it means...
But like in the blink of an eye, and you wake up and there's green slime on your hands. Wait, that's not from aliens?
The green slime on your hands is a little tough to... I mean, maybe you sneezed in your sleep or...
Wait, what green slime on your hands? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I wake up from when the time goes. Sometimes I wake up, I have green slime on my hands, and it's from the aliens. They're shaking my hands because I'm the champ, and they're doing things to me. They probe me.
So you're asleep?
Science because I'm ultimate human male.
So you're asleep, and the aliens come and just shake your hand because you're the champ?
They're so into you being... You're the champ. They just want to shake your hand while you're out. They don't want to do anything. They just want to
shake your hand. These guys love MMA. They've told me that the 170-pound division without me is garbage.
It's been pretty exciting. It definitely is more exciting with you in it. All right, talk to GSP real quick. I got to grab another coffee. I'll be back in 10 seconds.
Why do you think Johnny Hendrix can't make weight? It's the aliens interfering on my behalf.
Oh, because he beat you so easily.
Johnny Hendrix did not beat me.
I mean, he didn't win the decision, but I mean, almost anybody in the world thinks he beat you.
Not the aliens.
And that, that's not why you got out of MMA? Because I thought, because you were like, oh, fuck, I lost. I still got the win. I should get the fuck out of here right now.
That is not true at all. You need to correct yourself before you wreck yourself.
Okay, that's close. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, now, have you talked to Nick Diaz about the Ronda Rousey loss?
Good question.
We write letters to each other, kind of like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Oh, really?
You and Nick Diaz do?
It's his English is some of the worst I've ever. It's hard to read these letters. It's written in graffiti on paper.
Oh, really? So he just sends you like graffiti looking notes, like fucking Stockton and 209, all that shit.
A lot of pictures of someone who looks like him with a big middle finger to me.
Yeah, I don't think that's so much as writing back and forth letters as much as it is him telling you to go fuck yourself.
Can we get him on the phone right now? Because I'd like to rub it in that his lady is, one, having sex with a large Hawaiian man, and two, looked terrible in the fight.
All right, let's see if we do have a call on hold. It might be Nick Diaz. Let's see. Is he there? Okay, Diaz, if you're listening, call back. I think we just had a little snafu here trying to get you in. But
he probably ran out of minutes on his burner phone because he's so poor.
Oh, fuck.
That might be the case.
Shots fired. I'm feeling frisky today, Ari. I did 17 bumps of kitty litter because Holly Holm has inspired me to be a better GSP.
Now, what if Holly Holm is, she looks like she leads a pretty clean lifestyle. What if she's against the computer spray and the kitty litter and all of this stuff?
There's compromises in every relationship. I would get down to one computer spray bottle a day, cut back from two that I'm doing now.
And what about the kitty litter, though?
No one comes up that comes before the kitty litter with GSP. It's either take it or leave it.
Oh, wow. Well, the line is drawn in the kitty litter, as they say. I believe we have Nick Diaz on the phone. Nick Diaz, are you there?
What up, dog? It's fucking Nick Diaz.
Yeah, I know.
How does it feel? The Holly beat Ronda. She takes a note out of your book and loses, like always.
Dog, I want to talk about this Rousey fight. First of all, I don't think she fucking lost that fight, dog.
Now, you also seem to think undefeated.
Nick Diaz, you don't think he lost to Hendricks?
Dog, I'm talking about the Rousey fight. Who?
He thinks Rousey won that fight.
I think she slept. I think it was premature stoppage on fucking Herb Dean's part, dog. It makes me fucking sick.
You think it was a premature stoppage by Herb Dean while she had no clue what day of the week it was?
Dog, I was watching the fight in Stockton, and everybody that was with me, dog, they scored this fucking, the first round, it was 10-8 Ronda, and then the second round, it looked like she was going to finish Holly, and then, you know, she tripped. And she fell, and then, you know, Herb Dean saw an opportunity to make a name for himself, and, like, he stopped the fight, dog.
No, I don't think she tripped and fell.
The only thing that's premature on here is Nick Diaz's penis in the bedroom.
Wow. Shots fired again.
Oh,
GSP
yeah,
is
okay,
on
dog.
Fire.
You know what? I'm going to fucking ignore GSP, dog, because, you know, like, this ain't about that. This is about fucking Rousey. First of all, I do agree.
You will not ignore me. You locked me in a refrigerator box and almost killed me. You do not ignore GSP.
Dog, you got to get over it, dog. It was a fucking practical joke. Like, that shit. Come on, dog. You can't let that ruin your whole life.
I hate you. Sometimes I sleep and I picture the cardboard above my eyes and I can't do it anymore.
Oh, no, GSV, don't cry. Are you crying?
Sometimes when I'm wearing the belt, it doesn't even feel the same as before the refrigerator box.
Oh, GSV, don't cry. Everything in your life is looking good. You're training over at Wild Card Gym, I hear. Maybe we're getting ready for a nice comeback. You got a new love in your life. You don't have to worry about the broken heart that Rousey gave you.
Who's his new love, dog? Who's his new love?
He's in love with Holly Holm.
I am in love with winning, and I want to go to Holly Holm so she can tell me it's okay to be in a refrigerator box and come back from it.
Oh, no, GSP.
This dog, this dude is weak. You ain't gonna come back, dog. You think you're gonna take the title from me, dog, with that attitude and that mind?
You're
frame?
Just jealous
so.
Because you're suspended because you're a dopehead. I hate you.
Wow. Now, GSP, you've admitted to having some battles with some addictive substances, not necessarily drugs per se.
But if you smoke marijuana, you're sorry, Harry, but you're a true degenerate.
You do kitty litter and smoke computer spray.
Those are classy drugs in Montreal.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what how I would feel about snorting kitty litter.
Well, you're not from Montreal. You don't know how you feel about poutine either, do you?
I love the poutine. When I was in the refrigerator,
yeah,
box, thinking of the poutine brought me through.
Dog, me and him can agree. I love the poutine too, dog. I love the fucking it's fucking tight.
When's the last time any aliens came to you? They don't appreciate you because you never wear a belt.
GSP, what would the aliens say to Diaz?
They would say, "You are a terrible fighter."
Wow. Now, what was all that beginning part again? What was that beginning part?
Just about how he's from a garbage family in a garbage city, and his mother should get her tubes tied to not prevent any more Diaz children.
Wow.
Dog, this sounds like a lot of jealousy, man. That's all I'm saying.
Now, what would happen? Is there any chance, just a fan of mixed martial arts, but I'm a fan of both of you, but all four of you, including your love interests. Could we get a GSP home versus Rousey and Diaz, maybe like tag team octagon match going?
I would be glad to do it. What would you do with it, Nicholas?
I'm down. I just think, you know, if Ronda's going to do that, she's got to fucking figure out a better game plan. Because this one going in, I think one of the reasons she lost, well, people say she lost, was the fact that she wasn't fighting pregnant, dog. I think she fights better pregnant.
She's
fighting for two.
That is true. Her last two fights, you had her knocked up, and she won pretty easily.
So, dog, you give me a pregnant Rousey, and me and her team up, we'll fucking destroy fucking GSP and that fucking other bitch.
Now, going in...
Hey, Nick Diaz, I talked to Travis Brown recently, and I was distracting because I could smell your ex-girlfriend on his beard.
GSP is
okay,
ready
yeah,
to
that's
roast.
Cool, dog, I guess. I mean, you know... Like, we're still good friends, dog. It was an amicable breakup, dog.
Now, is there any part of you that's like that feels maybe a little guilty because you didn't knock her up before this fight? And going into her next fight, whether it be a rematch for her, for the title, or maybe another tune-up fight to get her back ready for a rematch, is there any part of you that thinks, hey, man, I'm going to have to blow a hot one right into her baby cannon and knock her up again?
The question was, dog, is there any part of you that thinks you have to blow a hot one into her baby cannon?
Yeah, dog. I mean, her team's already come to me and said, dog, you got like a big fucking load that you can just fucking drop in there. Maybe like a few months before that fight, get that shit going. And I agree, dog. I said, like, whatever I can do to help, I'm fucking down.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors that his penis doesn't work from all the marijuana.
Is that true? Is that
dog,
true?
That's not true, dog. That's not, dog, it doesn't, it probably gets about 80% as hard, dog, but it's worth the high.
Well, so you're sacrificing rock hard dicks and you're sacrificing.
Yeah, dog, I mean, but who, dog, my dick is so hard that, like, I could spare 25 to 30% of that and I'd still be as hard as a regular guy.
Well, then it sounds like you're just,
What?
You never have trained with Benny.
What's that,
dog,
GSP?
You, dog, you want to get me started on Denny, dog? Fuck that motherfucker, dog.
Oh, Denny,
Denny is a great man. He trained first black belt under Eddie Bravo. That's an unbelievable accomplishment.
They're talking about Brent.
Hey, wait, hold on, dog. I think. Oh, I got a knock on the. I got a knock on my door, dog. Hold on 1 second.
This can only go bad.
Maybe it's Rhonda.
Could be Rhonda.
Yeah. Hey, is that fucking Rhonda? What's up, Rhonda?
Oh God.
Hey.
Ronda Rousey, hello.
Wow.
What is this? This is like the refrigerator box all over again?
It's not. GSP, it's not the refrigerator box all over again. It's just Ronda Rousey showing up to her ex-boyfriend's house. Maybe to be consoled. Rousey, what are you doing over at the Diaz residence?
I'm getting pregnant.
Ha ha! Yes. I believe they call that training for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's why I had some trouble.
Now, what happened? It's probably one of your first interviews since the fight. What went wrong, Rhonda?
Well, I won the fight. I think Irving's really trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be.
A 20-year veteran of MMA is finally trying to start to make.
She's speaking in Nick Diaz terms. This is an unhealthy relationship. He's a puppeteer and he manipulates people. He did it to me.
He did do it to you. He did manipulate you for a while. You thought you guys were friends.
Fuck Herb Dean.
Yep, fuck Herb Dean. Now that's not
that. Is he saying Herb like herbs?
I think that's what they call Herb Dean in Stockton is Herb Dean because of all of the pop.
It's Herb Dean. That's how you pronounce it. It's Herb.
Yeah, that's
why is she there? Where is Travis Brown, the large Hawaiian man? What is happening in the world?
Yeah, where is your boyfriend Travis Brown? Or is that just a ruse so people wouldn't think you were dating Diaz?
Oh, I left him in the car. He's waiting.
And you're going to go get pregnant while Travis Brown is in the car?
Yeah, I mean, I left the windows open.
That's
God,
nice.
You have to admit, even though with no belt, she is still sexy.
Yep, she is sexy. Now, George, do you still have feelings? It sounds like you still have feelings for her.
That sounds like that.
Hearing the voice again, after I saw the loss, I was laughing. But hearing the voice, it's coming back a little.
It's got to be hard. Got to be hard, yeah. You know, you think you're over somebody, and then it's like when you finally get over a breakup, and then you run into each other at a restaurant, and you're like, "Oh my God, I thought I was over this."
Yeah, or a phone call to a sports show.
Yeah, same thing, pretty much exact same thing.
Yeah, you still have feelings.
It's so hard for me. I may need to sing a song to express myself.
Oh, good. I was.
Rob, do you have time to listen to a song, Rhonda?
Hey, dog, I got some baby making to do, so I'll call you guys back.
No, listen while he's singing.
Yeah,
please listen to the song. It's for Holly Holm, but kind of for Rhonda, too.
Okay, yeah, well, this is a great way to end this call with
nice,
dog, classic
I'll stick around for this fucking shitty song.
GSP song. Go ahead, George.
Right. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? When I was in a refrigerator box, the aliens tell me, follow your heart. I lay awake crying in bed, thinking how refrigerator box almost left me for dead.
Yeah.
That's all I have so far. It's a work in progress.
Well, you started off as like a nice little cover song, and then you put your own little spin on it.
Dog, I will say this. He does have a pretty sweet singing voice. I got to give him that. I mean,
he's multi-talented. He can sing. He can act. You know, he's stunt man, stunt coordinator, UFC fighter.
I go by GSP the Entertainer now.
Oh, that's...
Do you really? That's great.
Like Cedric, we are cousins.
I find that hard to believe, but I'll give it to you.
You're French Canadian.
Yeah, and white.
All right, dog, my boner's at 80% hardness, so I'm ready to roll. So I got
all right. Well, you got some knocking up to do. Diaz, thanks for calling in. Ronda Rousey, very sorry for your loss.
Wait, you can't use my fucking bathroom, dog. You're not using my fucking bathroom. There's a McDonald's down the street, dog.
Travis, there's a McDonald's down the street. Hang up on these bozos. Wow. That's got to be breaking news. You don't see Fighter and the Kid having Rousey call in, even though she probably has and probably will. But she called in ours first, Fighter and the Kid.
First phone call to a sports podcast since the loss.
Wow. That is pretty awesome, guys. That is pretty awesome. And GSP, he's in love. Oh, we got breaking news.
No, it was just that.
Oh, that was our breaking news. Okay, that's good. I can get behind that.
Did you see what Mayweather said? That I love.
All I saw is that he held up the picture that said KO.
No, he said later, he goes, it's going to be a very tough time. He goes, you know, I don't wish this on anybody, but it's tough. When you lose, you have to like rethink stuff. And it's like, and he goes, I know she'll be better, back, stronger than ever. Like real like a behinder. Yep. And he goes, you know, it's going to be hard. I don't personally know what it's like to have lost, but
love it.
I know she's strong-willed and she'll come back.
That's great. That's great.
I don't personally know what it's like.
Yeah, that's great. And he took the high road. And it's like he always kind of has regarding that. And you know, and she, you know what? There is a little bit of humble pie that needs to be eaten here by Rousey because she kind of was drinking her own Kool-Aid a little bit.
Well, I don't know if it's humble pie when you go 6-1.
Well, like, but when she was 6-0, you know, with the belt and fighting anybody, then she starts being like, yeah, I would like to fight Floyd Mayweather. It's like you can't even beat a girl boxer, let alone one of the greatest boxers ever in the history of time.
Here's what he said. Floyd told Fight Hype, people will love you on Friday, and then Sunday morning, it's nothing but negative comments and people making jokes about and people making fun about you, which I don't think is cool. I've never been on the other side, so I don't know how it feels. But, yeah.
He's got to throw that in. He's got to throw that in. But he definitely knows how it feels.
She doesn't want her.
Because he'll beat somebody.
She doesn't want him defending her, but he's doing it anyway to rub it in her fucking face.
Yeah, because him being like, ha-ha, you lost, bitch. Everybody's just going to say he's an asshole. But for him to go like, hey, you know what? I wish her the best. It's got to suck. You know, sometimes champs lose. Sometimes you win some, you lose some. That's the fight game. I'm sure she'll be back. I'm sure she's going to fucking learn from this. And I'm sure she'll be, you know, just as good as ever pretty soon. That's how you handle that. Because if he says anything else, he's just a complete fucking dick. And believe me, she said a lot of fucking disparaging things about him throughout the past. You know, when she won her ESPY, which is a meaningless award. A meaningless award. That's like, hey, I won the CBS Best Show on CBS award. Who
gives
a fuck? Just a popularity
contest, and now they're doing it so they can get ratings.
But when she won the ESPY, when she won the ESPY for Fighter of the Year and beat fucking Mayweather, she didn't say anything fucking, hey, I'm honored to win this. It was I was among some real great competitions, some great fighters in this. No, she held up the award and said, how does now Floyd Mayweather knows what it's like to get beat by a woman instead of beating women? That's what she said.
Yeah.
So now is his golden opportunity to be like, hey, cunt, now you know what it's like to get beat by a woman.
But I like what he did.
But instead he's like, you know what? You know, that's the fight game. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and I'm sure she'll be back. I personally don't know what it's like to lose. I probably never will. But from what I hear, it's a difficult thing to go through. And I wish her the best. That's how you fucking really zing somebody. You take the high road, and you look like the better person for it. Because if he said anything else, he's just an asshole. If he says anything shitty, he's just going to be an asshole. You know? Yeah. I think he handled that pretty good, and he still got his little zinger in there. Ari, have you been watching any NFL?
Yeah, I watched the end of the Pats-Giants game yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty exciting. You almost knew when you're like, oh, you guys were scoring too fast. You can't leave them with a minute and a half. And the same thing, Eli Manning once again.
Poor Eli.
Once again. They got no timeouts left, New England. If you just run the ball on second down and run it on third, you're leaving Eli with about 60 seconds. But they pass on second down, incomplete, and then run on third, run the clock down. And now you've left them with, you know, a minute 45.
Man, you give those guys.
And it's like, what are you doing? You're giving guy who loves a two-minute warning. Yeah. It's such a chance. It's just like.
And then you give Gostkowski a chance. I mean, that guy is money from anything under 50, he's money. And he might be money anything under 54.
This was 53, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long field goal that barely went through. But it's the point is, indeed, you gave Brad, whatever Garrett is, whatever his name is, enough time to go down there and fucking get in position, get to the 35-yard line, the 40-yard line.
They lose Edelman. They lose Edelman for the year. I mean, essentially for the year, 6 to 8 weeks is the rest of the season. I mean, if they get late into the playoffs. He could come back. Definitely would be back.
But here's
for the
thing:
Super
if you
Bowl.
Get an injury loss like that, and it happens to people, that's not. Gronk would be a bigger injury if you ask me.
Gronk could cost them their chance at a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's still fine. But like, if you get a loss of a player like that, you got to get the win out of it. You know, if you lose the game and the player, then you're like, fuck.
And the Patriots play next man up football. The Patriots just go, well, lost Edelman. Here comes Danny Amendola. Pretty much the exact same guy. Same height, same speed, same hands, same same race. You know? It's like they who's the fucking Brandon LaFell is playing good. Now they actually have two receivers now. And Gronk really counts for two fucking players for me. I mean, he's a great receiver, he's a great tight end, and he's a goddamn good blocker too. He's really a fucking good blocker. So you're just like, fuck. I just can't believe the Patriots are 9-0 and looking unbeatable. And even when you look like you got them beat, don't give these guys more than 60 seconds and the ball.
And they did.
And they
did.
Sure did. And they
sure
did.
It's like, why would you? It's like, you got to like the 6 or 7 yard line, or maybe even less than that. Maybe it's like the 5 or 4 yard line.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a for sure field goal. I mean, there's no question. And you're down one, so you got to get at least some points. So you definitely, you know, a touchdown would be great. Go for a 2-point conversion, be up 7, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you run the ball. You're going to take the lead. You leave them with a minute or less rather than a minute 48.
Yep.
It's just like that. He did the same shit against the Cowboys.
Yeah, he sure did.
You know, and it's like, what's Eli Manning's problem? How do you not know the game at this point?
Brady's the best quarterback in the game right now.
Yeah, so why would you give that guy that much time to only get to field goal position? Field goal position means you get to the 35 and you got a real chance.
Yeah.
You know, you start with the ball to 20. You need 45 yards? That's not that much. With that much time and some spikes available.
This AFC South is a real joke. You got two teams tied for the lead at 4 and 5.
Really?
And then you got the Jaguars at 3 and 6, and then you got the Titans at 2 and 7.
What about, what's it called? What about the NFC East?
NFC East that's you guys, right? Yeah, 5 and 5, Giants. But I tell you what, man, the Redskins are coming along.
Kirk Cousins is looking like half a game out, tied in the loss column. By the way, in the ESPN power rankings this week, I was down to like 24th or something.
Yeah,
and
as they should be.
Yeah, yeah.
Six in a row. You've lost 6 in a row.
7.
You were 2-0.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Jesus Christmas. You're right. You have lost 7 in a row. You went in that game losing 6 in a row. You're right.
Yeah, and honestly, also, that 5 of those losses came inside the final 2 minutes, where we were up or tied inside the final 2 minutes, and we've lost. Or overtime. Two went to overtime.
You guys could easily be 6-3.
Well, honestly, though, it's like, okay, I'm not going to count the Giants game because, they score with whatever, but we're tied. We probably were going to lose it. I'm going to count the Seattle game, where all we had to do was make one of the 2 fourth-down stops in the final drive.
Yeah.
And even when we did that, just go back and get into field goal position to get the win. Like, just games are like, oh, we really should have won that. Not could have, but should have. We could easily be 4-5. Like, that is a definite. And probably 5-4, which would be on top of this division. Getting Romo back right now, at that point, I'd be sitting pretty. It's coaching.
Right.
We lost the close games.
What is more shocking to you, Ari?
What?
That Peyton Manning is benched and playing the way he's playing. Not just so much that Peyton Manning is benched, but that Peyton Manning is playing like I would say, not even top 20 quarterback in the NFL. I would put Peyton Manning at the bottom 12 of quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
Five completions, 4 receptions.
Is that more surprising to you?
Yeah.
Or is it the fact that the Seattle Seahawks are 4-5?
Yeah, that seems weird. They lost a few early, too, but like they haven't been
and
there.
And they look extremely beatable. Now,
yeah. I mean, the
Arizona
Cowboys,
wins that division.
Cowboys.
I think Arizona wins that division, no problem. But the fact that Seattle probably won't make the playoffs, as good as they've been for 3 or 4 years, 2 times in the Super Bowl, 1 time Super Bowl champ, sends an interception in the end zone to Super Bowl champ last year, 4-5 and won't make the playoffs. And I'll say it right now on this show, Seattle does not make the playoffs this year. What's
well,
more surprising?
Two games behind the Falcons and the Green Bay Packers for the wild card. But they are behind the Reds – or tied, excuse me, with the Redskins, Bucks, and Rams, and Eagles, and Bears. So the odds of them making up those 2 games in the last 7 is pretty slim already. But also jumping over all those teams to beat one of the Falcons or the Packers. Like, I just don't see it happening.
I don't either. I really don't see, their offense is anemic.
I mean, the Cowboys
anemic.
Are two back in the loss column, and you know what I mean, and to a terrible team.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are two back in the loss column to the Falcons and the Packers. To good teams.
Two good teams that have pretty easy schedules.
Oh, all right. There's that too.
Packers, sans having to play the Vikings this week, which I think that's going to be a great game. That's a great game. That might be game of the week. Is Packers and what do you at a Coinstar right now? The hell is that?
I'm smoking out of a bag.
Oh, of course. I'm already smoking out of a trash bag. I think game of the week is going to be Packers Green Bay. I mean Packers and Vikings. Winner of that game, either Green Bay is right back in the thick of it, in their own division and tied for the lead, or Minnesota Vikings have a 2-game lead.
With six to go.
With five to go.
No. Six,
after the week. Oh, that's right. Right. Yeah. Six to go.
Wait, have they played each other already?
Let me see. I don't think
I'm looking.
That they have. I'll tell you right now. Let's see. This is their first matchup.
They haven't.
First matchup. So yeah, they play each other now, and then they play each other last game of the season, which could be humongous. That could be humongous.
Absolutely. And honestly, whoever wins this game goes into that game with, like, even if you're down a game going in, you know, you can get the win and take it. So if Green Bay wins this, they can honestly, like, underplay the Vikings for the rest of the season. You know what I mean? Have one more loss in them, and then it doesn't matter. They get that last win, and it's in Green Bay.
Yep.
Yeah. If the Vikings take it, though, that's up. They're up three games? No, two games.
They would be up two games if the Vikings win Sunday. I think that's a Sunday game. I'm not sure if that's Sunday or Monday.
They got a tough schedule, though.
Yeah.
After this, at the Falcons, home against the Seahawks, which, whatever, but it's not an easy win.
Yep.
At the Cardinals, who is a very good team this year.
Fantastic team this year.
Bears are 4-5, I think. And then Bears home against the Giants, which they're playing pretty good.
Giants are playing better than their record.
And they just got JPP back. Yeah, they're playing better than
their record. Who's playing good? He had a sack. He looked good.
And then at the Packers. So, yeah, there's a chance they could, the Green Bay Packers could lose this game and still win the division, but it's going to be tough.
Pierre-Paul looks like he has on his hand, like his wrist, coming off his wrist, is like two cigars and a dick. That, and then he just covers it all up with a big, like, Mickey Mouse glove with three fingers on it. But he looked good. He looked intense.
Listen, who's Green Bay's got, though? Nobody. So at the Vikings this week, at home against the Bears.
Win.
But that's the same as what's it called has, as Minnesota has. Nope. At the Lions.
Win. But they just lost to the Lions.
Who did?
Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But they're not going to lose again.
They're not going to lose twice to the Lions, but I tell you what, I just say that it's not a fucking guaranteed in the NFL.
But
anymore.
It's an easy game. At the Lions,
it is an
home
easy
against
game.
The Cowboys.
Which will be Romo back. And
yeah, but their defense you'll have nothing to play for,
and they'll have a lot to play for.
Yeah, you don't get that many minutes on defense and then not... And then be able to handle it later in the season.
Correct.
You know, I mean, they're worn down. I can't see them getting. They need a break week, and they already took it.
Correct.
At the Raiders, at the Cardinals, same shit, and then versus the Vikings.
Raiders are good, though, man.
Raiders are okay. They're my team now. Now that I don't have to root for football anymore, I like to pick out like a Kansas City Royals type team that I can get behind. You know,
Raiders would be a good one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Raiders would be a good one. You know, they can ride the. You know, do I think Latavius Murray is a every down back, he's going to be our running back for the next 7, 8, 9 years. I don't. I think he's kind of like he's doing what we need him to do for now. And we down the road, we might want to think about a marquee guy if he can fall to us. But their receiving core is good. Their tight end is good. Their
one
quarterback
game out of the playoff
is good.
Spot.
And they have a spotty defense, which certain people are playing really good at certain positions. Now, Charles Woodson is not going to be playing at 44, and he's definitely not going to be playing at this level. Hell, who knows? But he is the Daryl Green of the 2000s, Daryl Green.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite memories of all time was Eric Dickerson. I think it was still the L.A. Rams.
When Daryl Green ran him down?
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like once you get free from the line of scrimmage, you know, if you're a running back, if you get through that, you know, big hole, it's like you're done, you're gone.
Gone.
And he was gone. And you see him running all alone in the shot, whoever the camera angle guy was, you just see him running all alone. And then like from the side, like coming in and running towards him, like from behind him, just comes in into this frame is this Dale Green. Yeah. And he just runs him down at like the 10.
When he was 40, he won.
When he was 40?
No, when he was 40, at their first mini camp, he ran the fastest 40-yard dash of the entire Washington Redskins.
Really?
Including all rookies that came into camp. At 40, he had the fastest 40-yard dash for all people at Redskins minicamp. And then you just go, wow, some people just are gifted. They just are these blessed people that are just naturally fast. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. I got to go try to track down GSP right outside an AA meeting if I can. Ari, always a pleasure, buddy. I miss you. We didn't even get to find out if you've been getting laid lately. That seems to be a running theme, but we'll find out next week. And any last words, Ari?
Somebody stole my flip phone last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Who steals a flip phone?
Drug addicts.
I guess, but what do you get for a fucking... You don't get shit for a...
No, I don't think he was trying to get anything out of it. I think he just thought, oh, here's a phone or it's mine or something because he was on the drugs. He was also taking my coat when I found him. I'm like, what are you doing? That's my coat. He goes, oh, yeah? I'm like, well, it's definitely not your coat.
Yeah, no shit. What an asshole.
I know my scarf and hat were gone and the thing. I chased him. He's like, check my pockets. I'm like, checked his pockets. I didn't see anything.
Never a dull moment in New York City. All right, you're back here in a couple weeks? 4 weeks?
About four or five weeks, yeah.
I can't wait till you get back. And just so you know, on Cahuenga, there's a new place that has poutine.
No way, really?
Yep. Right by Big Wang's, right next to Big Wang's.
I'll test it to see what it's like. Sometimes they fuck it up.
We'll test it after the show one day.
I'm about to watch this Dale Green chasing down Eric Dickerson. I can't wait.
I love it. All right, I miss you, man. Good luck with everything. I'll talk to you later in the week. And as always, everybody, thank you for listening to Punch Drunk. Get well, Sam Tripoli. Love you. See you. Thanks.